I guess the whole experience with the auditors and my team being there together for the full week was kind of a good experience in the end. Towards the end, I think we had proven to these ladies that we were not trying to be deceitful. We weren't trying to hide anything. We weren't trying to cover anything up. We wanted to know just as much as they did where the shortcomings were in what we were doing, and also where the strengths were in how we were functioning and how we were running things, because it just makes us better as professionals to be able to see where these things are, where our strengths lie, and also where our weaknesses are, because then you can do things better, you can make it better. And by the end of the week, we had them, as opposed to being as adversarial as they were at the beginning of the week, we had turned their mindset around and we had kind of made allies out of them, and they were telling us how they were going to go back to DC and they were going to advocate to the granting agency on our behalf about what's going on out here, how things are, how things function in Indian country and at tribal colleges, to help us to administer the grant better and to do a better job and to work and build a better relationship with this very, very large federal agency. So it was, in the end, it turned into a really good experience. And if you're able to flip those things around and turn what could be a very bad experience into something where it's a learning experience for everybody, then I think that's a big win, you know. And that was basically just one example from my professional life. That's professional life. And I think we draw resilience from all of the spectrum of our lives, from the multiple roles that we play throughout our lives, because I'm not just a college president, I'm not just, you know, my titles or my degrees or anything like that. I'm very much more so, I think I draw my credence and my clout, my credibility from the roles I play as a daughter, as a wife, a mother, a clan mother, a clan member, a tribal member, the different societal roles that I play. That's where I draw my credibility from, because I don't know if people notice in Indian country, it's not, oh, well, hi, how are you? What do you do? It's not necessarily that in Indian country. It's more, hi, nice to meet you. Who's your folks? You know, that's how you meet people. That's how you introduce yourself. And we have a tendency to introduce ourselves via our clans or our family names or who we're related to, who we're descended from. And that's how people know us, and that's how we establish ourselves, and that's the role that we play in our societies. And that, I think, is a traditional value, and it's something that has existed for quite some time. You play a role. You have a job to do from the moment that you're born in our tribal cultures and in our tribal societies and our communities. At least amongst my own tribe, we'd had those clan roles and those relationships and the way we reckoned our kin. And those were vitally important because they defined how you lived your life, who took care of you, and who you take care of. And those roles were critical to us as people, because we relied on each other a lot, and we had to, because it was a life or death thing back in the day. You know, nowadays we kind of pull away a little bit, and we kind of I think we kin a little bit towards the Western mindset and Western way of thinking a little bit too much, when our way of doing things was perfectly fine and actually functioned better, because there were fail safes for families. There were those relationships that existed there just purely because a son or a daughter needed to be disciplined or needed to be taught or praised, or they needed to, in turn, they needed to take care of somebody else, you know. So it built, it had those relationships built in. And then you have the advent of the nuclear family, where it's just kind of like, every man for himself type thinking. And that really does not serve us as a people. And it's not a very natural fit for us. You know, I suppose I shouldn't speak for everybody, but I mean, it's not a natural fit for me, especially considering the fact that I now have my husband's sister living in my household and her five children, along with my seven children. And I, you know, it's not, I don't see it as burdensome or a bother, because my sister-in-law, she helps to take care of my children. She's doing so right now as we speak. It allows me to travel and to do the work that I need to do. And, you know, vice versa, I'm able to put a roof over her head. And we cook communal meals. We very much so try to be, it's like we're trying to be traditional, but we're not, I guess you could say. We're not really trying to, doing this on purpose. It's just the way things are, and we're led by our belief system and the way we function and what we feel is important. And family is critically important, you know, so... Mm-hmm. And family isn't necessarily defined by those people that, you know, are blood kin to you. They're the ones that choose to be in your life and that choose to make you a part of their lives, and vice versa. So that leads to another challenge that I came up against when I was younger. It was the once I left the reservation. I kind of went into a completely different world, basically, and I needed to, and my husband and I, we both needed to create a network of support for ourselves. We came off the res, we were a young family, we had just had a baby, and another one was on the way. We were absolutely destitute poor, and no sitters, nobody to help. I missed class a lot of the times because I didn't have anybody to watch my children, because he had to work, of course, to support us. And we didn't want that, the things that we went through, to be a hardship for anybody else. Now, this was a wonderful learning experience for us. It was very, very difficult while we were going through it. We still had plenty of happy times at that time. Mm-hmm. And I still reminisce, even things like, what is it? When I smell Hamburger Helper cooking, that reminds me of when we were so poor living in the dorms or living in the student housing at UND. And because that's all we could afford to buy and to feed our family. What do they say? Iron sharpens iron. You know, those hard times make you stronger. Mm-hmm. If you can look for the proper lessons in them, if you can look and see what the good is in that, and take that good from there. Take just the good and leave the bad, you know. Mm-hmm. And be thankful for what you do have. Be thankful for the fact that, hey, my car started again today. I was able to get to my job. I have a job that's on campus. I'm able to walk there. You know, I'm thankful for this. In fact, I was thankful for simple things, even that there was a bus route that stopped right by my apartment building. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have to walk too far through 5 feet of snow to get to the bus route. But, you know, all of those difficult things that happened to us, they all became lessons. Even to the point where I no longer feel like if I have a shortfall or if there's a shortcoming, I don't see things as failures. I see them as course corrections, basically. Like I feel a lot of the time that I'm led by Creator and I pray for that direction. I purely pray for the ability to be able to understand and to see and interpret with my human brain, with my pitiful human brain, what he wants me to do. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. and his message and where he wants me to go, and to not get that confused with what I want mm-hmm. as a human being. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I have to pray really hard. And I have to be like, can you please just make it like a neon sign what you want me to do? Because I'm really not sure. And I question myself. And all the time I question myself. But I look for and I watch for signs, you know, along the way. Even something as simple as a storm coming is to me a sign, because that's my clan, those are my relatives. I'm a Midipadi, I'm water buster, and to me, having them show up to me, that's the sign of, okay, you're on the right path, you know, believe in yourself, Twyla. And even where I am in my career and where I am in my life, I still am learning. I've got so much that I have yet to learn, and I'm so grateful for every single daily lesson that I have, because there's always something that's being taught to you all the time, and you just have to listen and pay attention. I'm really, if you expect nothing, then everything is a blessing, you know. Mm-hmm. And like, we were just blessed today by our family. They gave us a very generous gift, and we weren't expecting it, and it was a blessing. It was a huge blessing. And then when things like that happen to us, then I kind of turn it over in my head, and I'm thankful for it, and I'm grateful for it. And if you're able to even be thankful, not just in times when there's plenty, but to be thankful when there's in the lean times, then everything becomes a blessing. Even those teachings, you know, when if you feel like somebody's targeting you, or somebody is speaking badly about you, or if there's always a way that you can turn that on its head mm-hmm. and turn it into a teaching or a lesson for you, and to make it into a good medicine. There's always a way. There's always mm-hmm. a way that hardship can become a lesson, you know, even to the point of like illness. Mm-hmm. Illness makes you appreciate being healthy and being well. And I had a great deal of illness last spring, which made me very healthy, or very, very happy to be healthy this year. Very, very much so caused me to stop and to look at what I've been doing with my physical self, and to start taking care of myself better, and to start seeing what I could do better, because, I deserve that. I deserve that, and I have to believe that I deserve good things too, you know, and not in like a big-headed way or anything like that, but just, you know, we are all God's children, so, and God wants to, you know, place that love on us, and then we just need to be able to accept it, even when we don't feel like we are worthy of it, and, yeah, that's kind of what my teachings are. I just said there's lots to be learned. There's power in the daily lessons, and there's lots of teachings that you can glean even from those ones that are trying to who you feel are trying to be detrimental to you. There might be some coyote teachings in there, the backwards teachings where they show you how not to be, mm-hmm. how not to be as a person, you know, and okay, you take those teachings and you say, well, this is not how I want. I don't ever want to make somebody feel the way I've felt, you know, mm-hmm. in a bad way, you know, so. What will my words be? Will they be a healing balm for somebody, or are they going to be something that tears somebody down? No, that's not how I want to be. I want it to be, you know, that medicine, that good medicine, which comes back to you, we believe, you know, we now say it comes back to you three times. So what are you going to put out there in the universe? Are you going to put out good medicine, which comes back to you always as a blessing, or are you going to put out that poison, you know? Where does it stop? Whose responsibility is it to stop all of the, mm-hmm. you know, the hardship and the trauma We talk a lot about historical trauma. Where does that stop? Mm-hmm. Whose responsibility and whose job is it to stop it? You know, we'll say somebody should quit that. Somebody should. Well, and then we forget that we are somebody. We individually are somebody, you know, and we all, on the macro level, on the micro level, wherever you are, whatever place you reside in, whatever space you are in, at that very moment, you have the ability to make change, no matter where you're at, you know. It's and that in itself is a blessing. It's just like that in itself is power, you know, if you can own that and to know that you can be an agent of change simply just by being a better person, by being kind. Oh my goodness, kindness is such a powerful thing, and I've seen it make miracles happen. So that's the I guess that's, if there's anything that I can say that I'm able to do, it's to be kind to people. So and that I can say I have confidence in that I'm able to do very well as being kind. So, and that's hard for me too, because I'm shy. I'm very shy. I'm not like my husband, who's very gregarious and out there. And, you know, he's, hey, how's it going? And all this stuff. I'm kind of like, I'm not really like that.
A little more reserved, huh?
Yeah, yeah. So, because when I walk into a room, I'm 6'3". I'm brown. And so the moment I walk into a room, people notice me. And that for me is incredibly, makes me incredibly bashful. Yeah. You know, I'm aware of the fact that I attract attention simply by standing up. So that's always been something that I struggled with. And so,
yeah, that makes sense.
It's hard.
Where
it's,
some people just soak it in.
Yeah, yeah. Some
and
people
just really.
Yeah. I'm you know, I'm really envious of those people that can do that, that can just roll in and just be just absolutely confident. Myself, I'm just kind of, I keep my head down and just kind of, I don't slump my shoulders or nothing like that. I stand up straight, but that took me a long time to learn how to do
that. The battlefield of the mind, right?
Yes, exactly, exactly. To have confidence and to know that I can occupy my space. I can occupy my space, and I don't have to fight for it or shrink, you know, from it, and be comfortable. So be comfortable in your skin.
Well, if that's everything, then we'll close here, and thank you, Twyla.
Sure. Mm-hmm.